I'm going to kind of duck a little bit, make sure this pulpit kind of shades me, because I want to make sure that I'm shielded from any prophet rocks that might be being thrown. Because just mentioning this verse of scripture qualifies for prophet rocks. Close. Luke 6:38. It's the next one. Just as good, okay? Kerry said Malachi. No, 6:38. Luke 6:38. Let's turn to Luke 6:38. And the very first thing I would need to tell you about this is that it has absolutely nothing to do with church offerings. That's the first thing I need to tell you, okay? Nothing to do with church offerings. Well, then why are we reading it? Well, you'll know. You'll know in just a minute. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, knowing that most all of you in here and those watching, probably 99% of you, understand this much more thorough than the popular teaching that this is read and exhorted as a church offering, that if you give into the church offering, if you give into the ministry, God will replace that and with an exorbitant amount of money, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's not my objective right now to go into the, I'm going to be short on the doctrinal part of this because I want you to enjoy a true-to-life testimony concerning this portion of Scripture that will then give us faith into the giving this morning. Just for the purposes of enjoying what we already know, let's back up a few verses or several verses into verse 20, okay? So this is, of course, the Sermon on the Plain. If you've been listening to any of Gary Carpenter's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, this is the sequel to this, that same teaching. Of course, Jesus taught that message many times. We've really, really been enjoying those messages at the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee. I actually have Sunday night, Calling in the Lost. We do our Calling in the Lost confessions, and then we watch those teachings along with notes. Been fantastic. How many have been listening to those and really enjoying them? Fantastic. They really are. They really are Christianity 101. The Sermon on the Mount is Christianity 101. In other words, if I ever start a new converts class, that's what we're going to teach. Is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, okay? But here, Jesus is teaching pretty much the same message that he taught in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but we find it a little bit different from Luke's gospel, and yet he says here, blessed be the poor, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Everybody say hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you, cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. The first give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You know, when we have learned, we that have received the grace to understand how to meditate Scripture, and we go back, many of us testify of our pastor that we're talking about, Pastor Dave Roberson, that taught us the laws of meditation. And understanding that the first law of meditation is to keep everything in perfect context. When you understand that and you read this in context, you just wonder how in God's name can ministers ever misconstrue and make Luke 6:38 an offering, a church offering. So what is he talking about here? Again, verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love, or sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to those which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your heavenly, or as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Then give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can close your Bible. Let me share with you a testimony. This testimony starts with a story, okay? Starts with a story. Let me tell you a story of a elderly. I'll just put it this way. An older man that I know. This elderly man, he made fortunes in his life. He really did. He made fortunes, and he lived in some of the best houses that money could buy through a process of time. And some bad financial decisions, he lost it all. He lost it all and found himself very old, and old in the sense of health-wise and somewhat of age. And at his old age, he lost it all, very financially destitute. And then last year, he found himself in another unforeseeable or unchangeable, something that he could not have any changed, situation that brought more financial destitution to his life as a result of me knowing this person and having, I would say, in essence, a power of attorney over this older gentleman. I was able to step in and begin to administrate in the very crisis of his life. During the time of when this thing happened last year, and I saw as an administrator for him, that he was no longer going to be able to stay in the place where he was at, I contacted, at being the place where he was residing, I contacted the people that were his landlords and explained to them his situation, an unforeseeable situation. And they were, and I'm not saying this to be sarcastic, but it is what it is. They were at one of their homes up north in one of their cabins in Vermont, I think. When I contacted the person and explained to them this situation, at the time they were very, very understanding, and I knew that this person had a deposit that they already had down, and And actually, at the time, that person was so understanding concerning the misfortune of this person that I was representing that they said, "Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. We're going to just forget about the deposit." So I got off the phone thinking, "Wow, that was really good. That was really easy." But as time went on and the months went on, I found out something that I already know, is that when your God is the love of money, it can turn you on a dime. Rich people, sinners of this world, or people that do not know Christ, and I would put an asterisk beside that also and say a footnote is that even many Christians whose God is the love of money, if their bank accounts are full and running over, they will sue you for your last dime if they can get it. They changed. They came back into one of their other houses, and all of a sudden they changed their disposition while we were trying to move this other person out. And they sent me a letter because they knew that I had kind of the power of attorney over this person, and they began to explain to me that they wanted thousands. They listed what they wanted, and they wanted thousands. And so everybody say thousands. That's so I got this letter, and I'm reading it, and I said, they can't be serious. So they're willing to, at one point, give back a deposit. Now they're wanting zama, zama, zama. And so I called this lady that was the wife, and I said, "This is the situation." And I said, "You already have the earnest money, and we even talked about that you might even give that back." And her whole disposition had changed. And I knew that they were not Christians, and I had really never given them my testimony and never paraded in a sense that I was a pastor or given them a Christian testimony, just lived it a few times that I had ever met them in passing. And boy, the whole thing changed. It just changed in a moment. "Well, you owe such and such and such, and you should be the one to pay it." And I said to her, I said, "Well, ma'am, first of all, I'm not in contract with you, but I am helping this person." And she said, "Well, you should pay this payment. You should pay this debt." And I said, "Well, I'm already doing a lot for this person." But I said, "If we can do anything, you know, basically if this person could do anything in the future." Well, that was it. And then came the maligning. She said something to very, very close to the extent of this is, "You Christians, you all say one thing, and you all say and confess one thing, but you live another. This conversation is over." Click. The phone went down. So I said, "Whoa, this is not the person." See, people will say, "Pastor, I am claiming a Luke 6:38 blessing. Will you agree with me?" You don't know what you're asking. The first thing you're asking is, that Luke 6:38 is a promise. It's an absolute promise. It's a promise against persecution. It's a promise to fulfill blessing past once you've already walked through the persecution. So, okay, I'll agree with you. So first the thing is, you want to be kind of despised, maligned, hated, and you want somebody to try to take what you've got. And then you've got to be obedient to listening to him to say, "I will give them even when I don't want to," and then trust him at some point he's gonna cause men to give that blessing back, and with pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if you want that, yes, I'll agree with you. Okay. Hallelujah. It's done. Well, I'm not really sure I want it then. Okay. So anyway, then within the week or so, the legal papers start coming in. So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, wow. We went from owing nothing to thousands of dollars. And so so the court date, I talked to the Lord about it. And he said, I thought, maybe I'll call him again. He said, "No, you'll get more mercy in court than you will from them. So let it go." So I did. And so time went on. And so the date's getting closer. I knew what the Lord, I knew 6:38. I understood that. And but it was so good because just as it was coming up, Gary was getting to that part in and the Sermon on the Mount, and it was just, I just listened to it like the day before I had to go to court. So I'm going to court for this person. This person, this elderly person, is going with us, and I'm taking Candy as a, you know, as an intercessor. And so the day comes up. It's getting closer. And, man, I go in there like Ben Matlock. I've got my all my stuff. And I've never really been to court. And it's full. There's a lot more people. I mean, it was full that day. It was like maybe a couple hundred people in there. And then there's this lady judge up there. And they're calling all our names. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to be like Matlock. You know, I'm just going to have to go up there and get, you know. I'm hoping the anointing comes on me. And by the time it's over, it's like, yes, I did it. Confess. I'm sorry. So what they do is, and I did know this, they'll probably put us in mitigation. They'll probably put us with a mediator. And so they did. So they called our name, and this elderly person went with me. And we went into this room, Candy, this person, and this couple, and a mediator. And we sat down. So the court's still going on. Everybody's going, you know, there's a lot of people who sue each other. Jesus, I'd never been to court like that. We went to the top floor, went in there, and hundreds of people in there. So we're sitting there, and I'm sitting right like as close as these flowers are to this woman that had just hung up the phone on me several weeks ago and, you know, basically said Christianity is false because of, you know, I wasn't willing to just write her a check for thousands of dollars on that day. So I had, the day before, enlisted some prayer support from three men that I highly respect, and that was Pastor Jim Martin and Gary Carpenter and one other, and briefly explained to them, you know, what the situation was, and they all sent me back, we're standing with you, we and our wives are standing with you. And I never will forget, Gary just sent back a simple message, Sue and I are standing with you, just remember Luke 6:38 is an ironclad promise in these situations. Say amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm sitting there across from this woman, and the mediator says, okay, they went first. So they talked for a few minutes. And, of course, a lot of prayer went into bathing this whole thing. I believe God was going to be with us. And so I go through everything, and I've got all supporting documents. Everything from receipts to photos, blah, 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 blah. And so the mediator turns to these people and he said, you know, based on what he's saying, you do know that if he doesn't want to pay you anything, he doesn't have to because you'll never be able to recover anything. But if he wants to offer you something, he said to them in front of all of us, I would highly encourage you to accept whatever they, you know, they offer. Well, at some point, you know, because of even though there's this a very anesthetic kind of situation, I mean, it's not church, the anointing was there. This woman, she goes, you know, this is breaking my heart to do this. And I'm thinking, well, ma'am, if it's breaking your heart to do this, let's not do it. Let's all get up and go. Let's go home. That's fine with me. So I said, okay, well, I said, the guy goes, well, would you like to make an offer? I said, yeah, okay. So I said, okay, I'd really, because I'm thinking really nothing there. It's not worth anything. But I said, okay, and I gave him an offer. And it was about probably a third of what they were asking. I thought that was more than generous. Plus they kept the deposit. And of course, I know I'm the one writing the check. Okay, because this person, this other elderly gentleman has no ability to even begin. So they said, can we think about it? And the mediator said, yeah, would you three please be excused? So we walk back out and we walk out and the courtroom's right there and there's like 200 people and the judge is up there and I'm like, we're squeezed. We don't know. So we step back into the hall and we're like waiting and then the guy comes back out and you know, there's always got to be a counter. So remember, you can always negotiate. So there's a, he's a counter offer. So here's what they would really like if you'll do this, or write this size. They'll be happy. So, and immediately before I could say anything, Luke 6:38 just went, just exploded in my spirit. And there was no hesitation. Yep, we'll do it. Okay, we'll do it. So we go back in there, And he says to them, "This is they'll write these checks, or they'll settle for this." So I can tell they're real happy. They're real happy about this. There's a testimony going on. And so I turned to Candy. The man says, "How are you going to do this?" And I said, "Well, we'll just write you a check." I said, "Okay." So I already knew that the Lord wanted me to write it out of the pound that I steward, which is our ministry, so that when these people go to cash it, those that said there's nothing to Christianity, they're cashing ministry checks. And so I said, okay. And so they wanted two checks. So they wanted two checks, and so, you know, one to each account. So I said, "Candy, would you please?" And so she starts writing these checks out. So she does. And we give them to the mediator. He takes them, attaches them. And when we all stand up to go back out, because we had to go back in front of the judge one more time, and the judge is going to look at the papers, send us on our way, give them the checks, blah, blah, blah. So everything's real light now. And the person, the elderly man, said to the man, "I love you." And the man said back to him, "I love you too." And I'm thinking, man, this is like old home week, except I'm the one that's writing the check for all this. This is great, but I'm glad everybody's happy and the testimony's been, but this is a lot of money coming out of our account. And I said, okay. So we go back out. The judge, blah, blah, blah. We leave. And so at some point I get home and I said, "Lord, you know, so we wrote quite a large check, a couple checks out of the ministry. And I'm thinking, you know, categorize it benevolence. So I said, "Well, Lord, I know this is, I didn't put him like in a legalistic sense. I said, "Lord, I know this is a Luke 6:38 situation. So I said, "I'm just excited to see how you're going to handle this." Just excited. So it was very private. I didn't tell anybody else in the church. So we're going to fast forward, and I got to get going because I want to hear the speaker. So we fast forward a month, just last Sunday. So we had Easter, great service. The kids came over, Papa, me. I fix hamburgers. You never had a hamburger until you had mine. So I fix hamburgers, hot dogs. We eat under the big oak tree. It was still nice in Florida, out in our backyard. And kids hide Easter eggs. And it was so wonderful. And the kids go home late in the afternoon. So late in the afternoon, I don't know what I'm doing. I think maybe just got out of the shower, but I was doing something. Candy was another part of the house. Candy comes to me all excited. I said, I could tell she was excited coming down the hall. She goes, "Bronc." Yes, ma'am. She goes, "So-and-so," now I'm talking about on top of already everything that, you know, had come in that week. And she goes, "So-and-so gave a check for Zama, Zama, Zama." And I said, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God." Everybody say, "Oh, my God." Oh, my God. It was one of those "Oh, my God" checks. I said, "Oh, my God. Are you serious?" "Yep. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Well, I still didn't have a clue. You know, it's about 30 days later. So I just thought maybe, I was like, man, that was a good Easter. That you go to sleep real good on those "Oh, my God" checks. So I said, "Oh, my God." And I just equated it to that, my confession on a weekly basis. And I confess, you know, and I just believe that God was faithful just because I'm his son doing his work and believe in him that he's going to meet the needs. So we had that "Oh, my God" check come in. And so Monday morning I go over and you can't make this stuff up. I'm just sitting at the bank and I'm sitting there and I pass them our bank bags and stuff. So I'm sitting there and my phone rings. And the phone rings and it's a young man that goes to our church but wasn't there that Sunday because he was out of state, he and his family. And they just flew in Sunday night. And so I'm talking to him and we're laughing and joking because that's what we do. And so they pass me the bank bags back and I'm laying them in the seat and I'm starting to pull out of the teller and he says, "Pastor," he goes, "what I'm calling about," I've got a check for the church that's Zama, Zama, Zama. And he says, "Are you going to be home? I want to bring it by today or tomorrow." And it was another "Oh, my God" check. I said, "Oh, my God. Oh, my." I'm sitting in the parking lot and this "Oh, my God" is bigger than the other "Oh, my God." I'm saying, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God." Well, Tuesday morning, he comes over and So he brings the check, and I walk out, and Candy's outside with the kids because it was spring break. And he's standing there with a big, physically big business check, but it was one of those, oh, my God, checks. And so he comes in. We have lunch. Candy makes out a deposit slip. I run over, deposit, because you want to put that in the bank right away. Hallelujah. You want to make, oh, hallelujah. So I still hadn't put anything together. I was like, this is just faith in action. You just speak the word, believe God, and he will, just because you're his son, you know, you're his son or daughter. Well, that afternoon, I had a dentist appointment in another city. It was about an hour and 10 minutes away, and so I listened to Pastor Jim going over there, his Sunday morning service. Fantastic, wonderful Easter service. Listen to that. It was great. Got my dental work done, coming back, a long stretch of road. I'm listening to Gary's Sunday night services on Why Reason Against the Truth, something like that. So I'm riding along there, and I still hadn't caught on because these two Oh My God checks had come in. And you can't make this up. They came in within less than 24 hours of each other. And I slipped up to Candy that afternoon. I said, before I left, I said, can you believe what has come in the last 24 hours? I said, my God, it was just out of the ordinary stuff. And so I'm riding along there, and Gary's teaching, and the Holy Spirit had the audacity to interrupt him. It was amazing. And I just slipped over, and I thought for a second about those two checks. And the Lord said, that is the Luke 6:38 repayment on what you did to reach out to those sinners that day. And that is the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I said to Candy later when I said that, I said, my God, I wish I'd have given more money. I said, my God, Candy, if I'd have known that, I wish I'd have given more money. So we come up here with our bank accounts full, and because of obedience. Now, why are you telling us all that? Because I'm telling you this. If he'll fulfill one promise, he'll fulfill another. If he'll fulfill Luke 6:38, then he'll fulfill, he's the God that Jesus said, if he so clothed the grass of the field today, which is today, and then tomorrow is so just, it's cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you and feed you and fulfill all your needs according to his riches and glory? Hallelujah. He will fulfill every promise. You don't have to go through a 6:38 situation. Just on a weekly, daily basis, because he's your daddy, he will fulfill every promise in his word. Hallelujah. As I'm passing this mic to Pastor, I got to tell you one thing real quick, just a quick asterisk on that note. I often say to the Lord, Lord, you are the God of the 12 baskets left over. In other words, he not only supplies our need, but he's the God of the 12 baskets left over. When I did the calculations on that, it was just over 12 times what I spent that day in the courtroom. Is that incredible or what?